Greetings and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. Today is Thursday, May 21st, 2015, and here in Durham, New Hampshire, I am Dave Hamilton. Joining me today, I have, of course, Mr. Brian Chaffin. How you doing, Brian?
I am fine. I am also not in Durham, North New Hampshire, New Hampshire North.
Well, yeah,
Northeast.
Yeah,
whatever. No, I'm not there.
No, you're not. And I'm not in Durham, North Carolina either, which is where your mind was going, because
yes.
that is the I believe more popular Durham in at least in general.
That's probably right.
Yeah, it's great when somebody writes Durham, NC instead of Durham, NH. And sends my package a little too far south. Also today, we do not have Jeff Gamet. He will be back either tomorrow or Monday. I'm not sure which. Okay, it's Monday. But also today, we have the esteemed John Martellaro.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here in Denver where there was a little bit of sun for a couple hours this morning, and now we're back to the gloom.
So you get the New England gloom this time of year, whereas I get it the rest of the time of the year.
Well, this is very unusual for Denver. We've had this month-long rainy season. It's kind of depressing. Denver is known for a lot of sunshine.
Yeah. Colorado gets more days of sunshine than any of the other 49 states, I believe.
That's why we're all bummed out.
Aha. And our sponsor for today is Lynda, lynda.com/TDO is where you go to visit and get your 10 days free of Lynda's great training videos. We'll talk a little bit more about those in a bit. But right now, Brian, you have something teed up with John that we want to talk about.
I do. John, you actually have had your Apple Watch for a week. You're a little bit of a latecomer to that because you had the stainless steel version. Took Apple a while to get it to you. And you put up your first week of working with this thing yesterday, and tell us about it.
Well, I kind of just did a tour de force of all the things that came to mind. Out-of-the-box experience, the delivery time, did some checks on battery performance. There were some things that I wish Apple had changed a little bit. My primary use of the Apple Watch, what I think I'm really going to get the most out of it with. So that's kind of what I covered. But the first thing that I noticed about the Apple Watch was that I was appalled by the box that it came in.
It felt like terrible.
A plastic brick. It felt like one of those old power adapters. It had no class. It was just a big chunk of plastic. It had more shipping protection value than it did any kind of...
And it's in a big box.
So- yeah.
Is your box the same? Do we all get the same box? Because Brian, you and I both got the sport model.
Mine was huge.
Okay, so we all get the same big flat watch box, right?
Right.
I actually kind of liked it.
I'll teach their own.
I'm ready to chuck it. I mean, what is it good for?
Referring to the box.
Yeah. Well, the plastic, the clamshell piece of plastic that it came in, it just didn't have that Apple touch of class that I was expecting.
I have a salient observation to that effect. One of the initial complaints that I saw from someone whining about the Apple Watch was that Steve Jobs wouldn't have let it shipped. I don't know whether or not that's the case, but I do not think he would have let that packaging ship.
Huh. Yeah,
it reminds me of the Swatch
packaging.
Better
packaging on $300 watches at Nordstrom that showcase it better. And make you feel better about the purchase.
So your watch shipped to you flat, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
For me.
For you, I know, but that's what I'm asking John. Did your watch ship to you flat, or was it wrapped around a funny wrist?
One of those phony wrists.
Okay, so you got a different box than Brian and I got, very much so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, yours is more cubical than Brian and I got a very flat box with the because our watches were shipped flat. Yours being a stainless steel bracelet, I was trying to figure out how they would have shipped that flat, and they did not. That's how.
They wrap the loop around that fake wrist, and then it also has a slightly different and inductive charger. I think it's more metallic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is the case. I don't have a complaint with that.
But that's sort of by the wayside. The most notable thing for me was the ease of setting it up. As soon as you launch the Apple Watch app on the iPhone, you're off and running. I mean, it just walks you through it so beautifully and so gracefully. And in just a few minutes, you're up and running with the watch. And that was really well thought out. And all along, I was expecting there to be some sort of bug or gotcha or something. And for a 1.0 release, that process of pairing your watch and setting it up was really well thought out and pretty bug-free. And I was impressed. And then the next thing I talked about was the battery performance, because, you know, so many people had, without having even seen a watch or before it even shipped, were poo-pooing about the fact that the watch wasn't going to get you through the day. And I was amused by that because, you know, that's just an opinion. You have to do some testing. So I started keeping a log. And for the first few days, I was
running. As one does.
Yes, as one does. The scientist keeps the data log. And I was averaging maybe 50 or 60% each night. I think it was 64% after 6 days when I was putting it on the charger at night. And you could conceivably get through 2 days on capacity like that. Now,
I shut it down pretty well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I have gotten through 2 days on one charge. I did not put my watch on a charger one night and realized it when I woke up, and it was at, you know, in the 40s, I guess, is where it was when I put it on, and it was fine throughout the day. Yeah. I was in Disney World for 4 days ish over the weekend, and I have always, since I got the watch, I have added a complication to every screen, every watch face rather, that is the battery life. I have added the battery life complication to every watch face that I've used because I was so concerned about, wow, you know, this thing is supposed to have limited battery life. I got to really keep an eye on this. I used my watch a ton in Disney. I used it for, obviously, for notifications. I used it for paying for things with Apple Pay all the time, at least when the cashier was smart enough to know that, or trained enough, I should say, to know that it was possible, because it is possible everywhere in Disney. They have those little things that people use their magic bands with, and the Apple Watch and your phone work fine. I used it extensively for text messaging or messaging where I was reading messages on it and dictating messages to it. So I used it a ton. I don't believe, and we had very long days. I don't believe there was a single day where I put it on the charger and it was below 50%. So
that's pretty amazing. I think Apple was preparing us for the worst and over delivering, as they usually do.
Yeah, I no longer keep the battery complication on my watch face. I'm fine knowing that it's going to warn me when I get to 20%. And honestly, now I really kind of wish that I could do the same thing with my iPhone, because this whole concept of obsessing over the battery is bad for us.
Speaking of obsessing, one of the things I noticed about the Apple Watch was that the face stays only lit up for about 20 seconds. And the watch is so gorgeous. I use the utility face. It's just really cool looking. And I've added the battery notation and the outside temperature and my calendar events at the bottom. And you can become sort of pleasantly obsessed with, you know, admiring the beauty of the watch. And then it blinks out at you. And I guess that's something I have to get over.
Because, well, it would be nice if Apple offered us an option for how long it takes the screen to go dark.
Yeah, that's what I wrote in my article. I'd like to see that, where you have an option. It could be especially useful for demoing it to friends, where you want to have an extended session, you know, showing them what it can do. And it could also help the salesmen in the Apple stores, too, or get rid of that canned demo that they have to use and just, you know, pull out a watch off the cuff and start showing it to you. That's probably why they have to have that canned demo in the retail stores.
One note on the battery life. One of the reasons why some people are legitimately tense about the battery life is the fact that you can't use it for any kind of sleep monitoring. Even going 2 days means that every other night you'd have to be, you know, you'd be charging it overnight rather than using it.
Well, and you'll notice that there is no mechanism in the watch that pertains to sleep monitoring.
That is true, but surely the sensors that are on there could be used for some sleep monitoring.
Sure.
There's more sensors than are on a lot of fitness monitors.
Yeah. Apple didn't expose any of that because they didn't expose it in that way because that's the last thing they'd want to hear about from people is you sold me this sleep sensor that I have to charge while I sleep. Right.
Right. No, it's absolutely true. I mean, I'm not saying that Apple handled it poorly. I'm just saying that that is a source of complaining for some people, rightly or wrongly.
Now, my wife is very interested in the Apple Watch, but also very much likes the fact that her Fitbit tracks her sleep.
Right.
But, you know, I have never worn an activity monitor, right? The Apple Watch is the first for me. It's clear that I am not someone who actually cares about that stuff, right? Because if I was, I would already have had a fitness monitor. I feel like a lot of this is just things that you can become obsessed about for the sake of being obsessed. I'm not entirely convinced it matters. Now, I'm sure this is blasphemy to many people, and that's fine. But it's like, you know, if you're active and healthy, Is the watch or any fitness monitor actually going to change that, other than the people that, you know, say, well, I don't think anybody's going to go – I'm sure somebody's going to tell me I'm wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't think anybody's going to go from walking 5,000 steps a day to walking 12,000 steps just because they put a monitor on their wrist. But you might go from walking 11,700 steps in a day to 12,000 because, by golly, I'm not getting in bed until I top my scale, right? So, you know, if you're going to be someone – if you are going to make a change to your life that brings you from 5,000 steps a day to 10,000, you're going to do that with or without the stupid band and the watch.
You're projecting way too much there. Everyone's different. Everyone gets motivated by different things.
Let me tell you how it helped me. Before, I was using my
watch is going to motivate you.
I was using my iPhone to track my walking, and I go on this circuit of about just under 2 miles, and I get about 4,500 steps. But when I get home, or on days when I don't walk because it's rainy or something, my iPhone sits on my desk, and I'm wondering, you know, how does my daily activity around the house compare? And so, as soon as I got the watch on, there's things that you do around the house. You know, you get up, do dishes, you know, do laundry. Lee's got the flu, so I've been, you know, running up and down the stairs, taking care of her, bringing her stuff. And what I noticed was that if you're active around the house in the day, you can get 4,000 steps in. And that compares fairly well to the walking that I was doing. So that really opened my eyes.
But you're still getting less steps because you're not doing the walking. I mean, you're just as active around the house. You just weren't tracking it previously, right?
I wasn't tracking it, and now I am, and I'm very pleased.
No, I get it. Listen, I say that I haven't used a fitness monitor. You reminded me, of course, that I lied. I've had an iPhone with a motion chip in it for, a year and a half. And I do. I have used it. You know, this time of year, actually, when it's nice out, I like to ride my bike once a day to the post office to get our mail out of the P.O. box. And I enjoy the process of tracking that, but the fact that I track it is not the thing that makes me ride my bike to the post office. It's just interesting to track it, right? So that's all.
I think I'm going to write an article later today that talks about the various compulsions and obsessions we have and where they come from and how valid they are.
Hey,
I had an embarrassing experience with Apple Pay.
I'm going to save you from that embarrassment. But only for about 2 minutes, John.
Okay, cool.
Because I want to talk about our sponsor for today, which is Lynda at lynda.com/TDO. That's where you go to sign up and get 10 free days of Lynda's training. Lynda makes and has been making for decades awesome training videos. They are the masters at this. They pull experts in their fields, right? If you know, you're learning about programming from people like Simon Allardyce, right? Master programmers and master teachers. You're learning about iTunes and iOS from people like Chris Breen, right? And I think his course is still up there, even though he now works for the mothership. But these are the types of people that they go and get, and they have courses that span all kinds of range. Every course is built so that you can stream it. It's built with chapters. You're seeing it right there in your web browser, or you can watch it on your iPhone or iPad. This works the same, all the same in this 10-day free trial, and the same once you sign up, and it's only $25 once you sign up. Each course has chapters. You can have the course just flow from chapter to chapter if you just want to go through, or if you like to stop, and you can change this per course, right? So one course you might just want to blaze through. Another one, maybe you're doing something technical, you're learning something like Photoshop or JavaScript, and you want to play and you want to absorb, and you do that better by stopping and experimenting. Well, that's fine. Have it stop at the end of the chapters. Of course, you don't have to wait till the end of the chapter to stop it. You just can set that automatically. You can press pause anytime you want. I know that sounds obvious, but compare that to classroom training. You can't press pause on the teacher too much. Otherwise, the rest of the people in the class, they're going to want to come after you, right? They're going to throw you out. And that's not good. So you get to sit, you get to do this. This is the future of learning, folks. This is how it works. This is why LinkedIn bought Lynda for a seemingly absurd amount of money. It's not absurd. These people know what they're doing. They make these awesome courses. And, you know, we've been hearing from you folks for a year about the fantastic things. Many of you have written us to tell us that you've taken courses at Lynda and changed your job because of the things that you've learned. We have many of you that have become web developers solely based on the stuff that you've learned from Lynda.
That's awesome.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. Now, I want to make sure you understand. Please do go to lynda.com/TDO. Yes, you could just go to their main website and get the same 10-day free trial. But then they don't know why you signed up. They don't know who referred you there. So please make sure you go to lynda.com/TDO. That way they know that we sent you. That, of course, helps us because it shows them that the money that they're spending advertising here works. And that's good for you. That's good for us. And we appreciate it. Again, we appreciate Lynda's support as well. lynda.com/TDO. John.
Link in the show notes.
A link in the show notes. John. You had an embarrassing story to share.
Yes. The first thing I did with my watch, one of the first things, was load it up with Apple Pay and my credit card. So I'm in Sprouts Farmers Market, and I'm with a friend, and I'm ready to pay with Apple Pay, and I'm so excited. And I press the side button twice, and the favorite slides in, slides out. And I had read up on how to, you know, double tap the side button to bring up Apple Pay ahead of time, and I thought it was good to go. So I stand there and I try it again. I tap the side button twice and favorite slides in and favorite slides out. And this lady's behind me is starting to stare at me like, you know, what is he doing? And then I decide, well, there's something wrong. I haven't figured out something, how to do this correctly. So I pull out my iPhone 6 and I go ahead and pay. And this woman is continuing to glare at me. So I get home and I realize that what you have to do is you have to touch that side button very quickly. If you touch it just a little bit too slow, the favorites will slide in because that's the single touch function of that side button. And if you touch it again, it makes the favorites go away. In order to bring up Apple Pay as a double click, you have to do it very briskly. And that's something I hadn't learned how to do off the first time I tried it. So that's
It's worth experimenting with that ahead of time. And it's also important to know that at least for me, I'm sure this is true for everybody else, but correct me if I'm wrong. Just because I had my credit cards on my phone, they don't translate to the watch directly. You have to add them.
Yeah. Despite the mirror iPhone setting.
Yeah, that one. Yes. Yeah, you've got to add those cards manually. And for me, for a few of my cards, it meant, re-authenticating with the bank.
Second time.
Yep. I will say this. The Apple Pay, the user experience of Apple Pay on the watch taught me that Apple Pay can be better on the phone too. And here's what I mean. You pointed it out, John. You double tap that side button and it comes up. You do that first, right? It comes up and it defaults to whatever card you have set as your default. But from there, you can very easily move around and pick the card that you want to use. And then when you're ready, you go and push your watch up against the reader. Now, if you haven't done it yet, the best way to do it is put your watch face down, you know, and shove it at that thing. Touch it against it because the NFC circuitry is very, very short range. And it feels to me like in the watch, it's even shorter range than on the phone. But knowing that, that's fine. You do the double tap, you select your card, you hold it up to the thing. And when it's done, it beeps and the machine beeps and your wrist, you know, gets tapped and you're good to go. With the phone, the process I used to take was I would just hold my phone up to the terminal and it would appear, my credit card would appear, as if by magic. And then if I wanted to change the card, I had to keep holding the phone near the terminal and move things around. And even just to put my thumb on it to authenticate, I had to make sure I stayed near the terminal. Otherwise, I'd pull it too far away and it would have to resync and do all of that crazy stuff. I don't like that. I like the concept of the watch where I do everything that I need to interact with first and then put it near the reader. It's a much smoother process, and I can get the watch ready before the cashier is ready for me to do my thing. You can do that same thing on the phone. You launch Passbook, select your card, and while your card's on the screen, just put your finger over the Touch ID button. And you'll see your thumbprint thing will come, or your fingerprint thing will come up, and it'll say, okay, you're ready to go. Now hold it against the reader. And it's that same sort of, you do all your work ahead of time, and then just put the device on the reader, and then it's done. So
that's how I've been doing it all along.
Actually, it's a much better process. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to share.
Yeah, fair enough. I've been doing it the same way, too, from the beginning.
With launching Passbook first?
Actually, just touching the phone to the reader to launch Passbook for me.
Yeah. Oh, and then pulling it away and doing all your work. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, see, the thing is, sometimes those readers aren't in NFC mode until the cashier is ready for you to finish your transaction. Mm. And so then there's this pressure, right? You got all everybody looking at you. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's an interesting feeling.
Yeah. So what else, John? One last thing before we wrap up for today?
Let's see. Well, those are the things I'd like to see improved is I'd like to see a demo mode where you can keep the face up longer. I'd like to see a grid, a favorites page where I can do a 2x3 grid and have 6 of my favorite apps laid out in the fashion that I want so that I have spatial recognition of it and have a bigger place to touch. And I think that's probably going to come.
I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah. Probably.
Or you know, even using the crown, right, to rotate around through your apps like you do through your favorites for your contacts. Yeah.
And I'd like to see a more complete set of data items. Not every watch face allows you to have every data item, say like a calendar. And I'd like that set to be orthogonal. I'd like every watch face to have the feature of every available data item to be displayed. And I don't know why they did that.
Hey, John, watch me wind Dave up. What I'd like to see is Apple open up watch faces to third-party developers.
I know you'd like to see that. I don't think they're going to do that. Have you? And the only reason I think you would want that is because you haven't seen what happens when that happens, right? The Pebble has a disastrous number of terrible watch faces for it, and I think Apple doesn't want to ruin.
I'm actually confident though in my ability to pick and try watch faces and get rid of the ones I don't like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but there's no accounting for taste, and what Correct. You might like is not what Apple wants people to see on your watch. It's the same reason that yes, you can set a background screen on your iPhone, but you don't get to change the size of the icons.
It's true.
Yeah. So thanks for hanging out with us, folks. We will be back tomorrow, of course, and then Monday Jeff returns. Please do check out Lynda at lynda.com/TDO. John and Brian, thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow.